The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Fantastic. Welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast with vital advice if you'd only listen. I'm Adam Felber, the rational co-host of this field guide to life. And now, please welcome our other guide in the field, the woman who never uses a compass, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you very much. That's actually my first fanfare.
That's fantastic. Welcome, Paula Poundstone, and a big thank you to tonight's house band, trumpeter Stephen Billington. Let's hear it for Stephen, everybody. Paula, what piece of sage advice do you have to kick off our show today?
I have terrific advice.
Oh, great.
As always, in my car, I keep a packet, several packets, for in case I have an accident, as copies of my insurance.
Yes.
As copies of my license, all the information anybody would need.
Many people have this.
And there's but I keep it in each one in a packet, and I have a cover letter that begins, "Oops, we've had an accident."
I like that because you're not assigning blame to anybody because you're never supposed to.
No, it's not necessary. Yeah. Okay. And so we just get, so there's a nice feeling about the post-accident.
Oh, so you get out of the car and you're like, "Hey, look, I have a packet."
Yeah, I do. I give them their packet.
Okay, so you advise people to have a packet.
I do. That way there, it makes the exchange amiable. It's quick. You're back in your car risking lives as fast as you can.
That's
after
wonderful.
That.
And you'll only get that kind of advice right here. So here's the lineup for today's show. Paula asks audiologist Dr. Michelle Sherman what we should and shouldn't stick in our ears. Is earwax a good thing? And if so, why isn't it more popular? We'll also talk with Leslie Ann Weiss, a certified feline training and behavior specialist, about how to tame a feral cat. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone comes to you from the Jorge Reyes Sound Studio, located on beautiful Miranda Avenue in North Hollywood. And I thought, since we're kicking off, we're still very early in this game, we should describe to our listeners the vistas of Miranda Avenue in North Hollywood.
Beautiful doesn't begin to explain it. There's... we are adjacent, I think, and I don't know if when they sell this property, they say, well, there's a view.
Yeah.
But the view is of the laundromat. Mm-hmm. Of North Hollywood.
The laundromat.
Well, that's what I wonder. The words are a small the and then laundromat, big letters, and then in cursive down the bottom of North Hollywood. And I wonder, did they see it as the laundromat of North Hollywood or the laundromat of North Hollywood?
We could go ask them, but I'm terrified of the place. I mean, I love this studio, but you step outside the studio and between here and Denny's is a wasteland of shambling mounds.
I had a bottle
thrown at me coming here just a week ago. And I'm serious. It was a plastic bottle, a water bottle. And the guy, when I looked at him, like ran away. He was obviously some guy who was like, you kid on a bicycle. I'm 50. And then when I looked at him, he disappeared into an alley like somebody out of a Terry Gilliam movie. But it was a legitimate throwing of an empty plastic bottle.
No, it was. And I paid that guy $10.
You paid $10 for terrible aim.
I said, get out of the way as quickly as you can. No, you might want to go into real estate because some of these words that you're using, some of the adjectives you're using are excellent for real estate.
I don't think shambling mound should show up in any description of a house.
Okay, that's not a positive one.
Right.
But it's still descriptive. What was I going to say? Right on my way in tonight, I noticed there was a hubcap just laying near the alley that we walk into to get to the studio.
Yeah, I think that's the local equivalent. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, no, I think what it's saying is, yes, we're going to steal your hubcaps, but not for any good reason.
Right.
we're just going to, because we can. Yeah, right. You know,
this is what we're capable of.
Right, exactly.
Don't ask us to throw them though, because we will miss.
It's like when you drop a $20 bill accidentally, and then you think to yourself, well, you know what? Somewhere someone's going to find that 20, and they're going to be really happy about it.
That has never happened to me.
That's never happened to you?
No.
I found a $100 bill on the ground one time, and I walked up to a guy a little ways ahead of me on the street, and I said, "Did you drop $100?" And he said, "Yeah."
Wow. See, my response would have been like, well, about 75, but thanks.
No, the only thing I knew about that $100 bill was that it wasn't mine. Yeah. So I felt, I didn't mind
it's
when I gave it to him. That's the thing.
I go
like,
home with
usually that 100. When my hubcaps are stolen, I say to myself, well, somebody needed a hubcap.
To leave as a sign
and
for
so
somebody
I,
at the front of
I
an
don't
alley.
Feel that bad. But now when you see that they just discard it in front of Jorge's.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Okay, Paula, now that we've set up the environment that we're in, let's use it and get to our first guest.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Stephen Billington. Well, Paula, I don't have to tell you that on the show what we do is we get curious about things, we find an expert who can tell us how wrong we are, and we move from there. So tonight, we're going to probe our ears and find out what's in there. What should you put in your ear? What should you take out? What should you expect to come out? Paula, what's your advice before we talk to somebody who knows? What do you do with your ear and the things therein?
Well, I don't do anything with it. I mean, here's my problem. You know, I know there's a thing that says, well, don't use Q-tips. You're not supposed to use Q-tips. And then I think, but I've got a big box of them.
Yeah.
If you don't put Q-tips in your ears. Well, if you don't put them in your ears, what the hell do you do with them?
There's other things you could put in your ears, like the earbuds and stuff. And,
no, I don't believe in earbuds.
You don't believe in them?
Well, I believe they exist. I don't. The idea that you shove something with noise in it into your ears where there's just those little hair follicles that are your whole hearing thing.
Wow, I don't even know if we need an audiologist given the level of your knowledge here.
And a lot of this is based on science. And I've had almost no medical school.
Almost?
I almost no. No, when I in my house, I don't allow earbuds.
Because you think they're bad.
Because I think they're bad. I think they're harming ear. So when I find them, I cut them with scissors.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure your kids love that.
Well, they all moved out.
Yeah, well.
I guess when it came down to between me or the earbuds, they said, you know what?
It's a tough choice.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's find out how accurate your advice is. Please welcome Dr. Michelle Sherman, audiologist from the Towers Audiology Center.
There we go. Thank you.
Now, Dr. Sherman, I know Paula has something she really wanted to know involving her ears, so I'm going to just turn it over to the person whose podcast it actually is.
All right, sounds good.
Are we supposed to use Q-tips?
You can use Q-tips around your ears.
What do you mean, around your ears?
You can use them around the outside of your ear, not in the canal.
Oh.
If you look at the box of Q-tips and read it, it says do not insert into ear canal.
Yeah, but Frosted Flakes says do not eat. That doesn't mean...
Well, they also, didn't they put that on like a couple years ago?
No, not at all. They were actually originally made for cleaning makeup up off your face. It was to clean tears out of baby's eyes and things like that.
To clean tears out of baby's eyes?
Just clean gook out of eyes and...
Oh, like the gook.
Yeah.
Not the tears.
Not the tears. The gook.
I was going to say, how weird.
Gooky tears. Your
kid's crying. Your kid's crying, you go at him with a Q-tip.
But it's not...
The least comforting thing a mother could do. I'm going to stab your eyes with cotton if you do this again.
You can clean the very opening of the canal, but you're not supposed to put it in the canal.
Well, where does the canal begin?
The canal is, if you stick a finger in, that hole. That's the hole. That you can stick it right at the opening, but just don't go farther than that.
Yeah,
because what happens?
Well, if you are a wax producer, you're just really essentially pushing wax deeper into your canal, which is not what you want to do. Your ears are self-cleaning. They should clean themselves.
What do you mean self-cleaning? It seems like wax sits in a lot of people's ears.
Some of it, but the way the anatomy is as you talk, chew, you move your mouth, the ear canal opens and closes and pushes wax out. Wax is healthy. It's good. It's good. And using Q-tips will dry your ears out so you get itchy ears just because you're taking the oils out.
Oh, I've had itchy ears.
And you use Q-tips in your ears.
I do.
Like, I've never had itchy ears, and I occasionally use Q-tips.
Okay, no, wait. I thought, because I went to a doctor one time, and she looked at my ears, because you got a lot of earwax in your left ear, and I felt terrible. I thought it was going to be...
Yeah, like you invited somebody over to your
judgment.
House.
And, it was like a step away from saying, you whore.
No. Not exactly.
I was there in a tube top or something, you know what I mean? Like really short shorts or something. She didn't say to me, and here's what you do about that, or here's why it's of a concern. It was just a judgment.
Slap in the face.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do sound judgy, but it's not judgy. It's like, wow, you have a lot of wax. Some people produce a lot, some people do not. Some ears
are... So you're saying it in awe?
She might have been impressed.
Sometimes I say it in awe, and people, wow, you have a lot of earwax in your ears.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
It is a good thing?
Wax
So that lady paid me a compliment?
Yes.
Because I haven't gone back.
Well, no.
You can go... Did you clean your ears?
No.
She said,
you get a lot of wax in your left ear.
Get out.
Now that I realize that was a compliment, then my right ear feels a little bad.
Well, if she didn't clean it out, then that's a whole other situation.
Was she supposed to?
I would have if there was a lot of wax. I mean, if the earwax is not... if the earwax is blocking everything, blocking your hearing, blocking the opening, blocking anything, clean it out. By a professional, not by yourself.
And what,
not
you by use yourself. A Q-tip, right?
I do not use a Q-tip, no.
Because I'd be really mad if
she gets in there with a shop vac.
I do, yes. Well, you can use a suction with a little attachment on.
You can use a suction?
On. That's
with
what
a
we
little
use.
Attachment?
It's a little, for wax, for cleaning ears.
That doesn't seem right.
There are over-the-counter products you can use to clean out your ears that'll dissolve the wax.
Oh, I've used those. You put them in and you hear like a bowl of Rice Krispies in your ear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, I don't want to buy them because I just feel... I'd have to go in like in a disguise, you know.
Because you're so ashamed. You've been so wax-shamed by this one audiologist.
I've been wax-shamed. That's exactly right.
Let's get to earbuds.
So wait. I want to get to earbuds. What is the point of earwax then?
Point of earwax is a lubrication for your ear canal. It's a protection system, so it is very acidic, so it keeps your ears healthy. It is a insect repellent. It keeps dust and dirt.
It's insect repellent?
It is an insect repellent.
It's just repellent.
It's socially repellent. It's insect repellent.
Because
I've never heard of
it's
that.
It's highly acidic.
Well, then how do you explain the mosquitoes that buzz around my ears in the summertime in New England?
They're buzzing around. They're not buzzing in.
They don't go in.
No.
If they went in, that would be bad. They could get stuck in there.
Well, they'd die.
Oh.
It's the acid in the earwax that acts as an insect repellent.
I could kill mosquitoes by luring them into my ears.
Yes.
See, now I'm going to try that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, and am I right about earbuds?
You're not right about earbuds.
So, no, earbuds, depending on the earbud itself, there are limits on most earbuds. Some do go too loud, but for the most part, they're not bad. As long as someone standing next to you cannot hear what you're listening to, you're okay. the idea with earbuds is they actually go in a little bit deeper into your ear. So typically people are not turning the volume up quite as loud.
Oh, because they're shoved in.
Because yeah. they're deeper, closer to the ear.
If it's not good to put a Q-tip in your ear, then why would it be good to...
Like you don't it's not like I spend my time... I use earbuds all the time. Like, when I'm on a conference call with you, I'm wearing earbuds.
Is that why you keep going, what? What?
Yeah, well, because I'm on a conference call with you, so I don't actually have them plugged into anything. But it's not like I'm like working them into my ear like a Q-tip. They're just sitting there.
Yeah, they're not that deep in at all.
Okay. You might have been using them wrong.
Maybe I've used them wrong, because one time I put one in my right ear, and then I pulled it out through my left ear.
See, now that's
too
deep.
That is a little too deep.
That's too
deep. Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe that was a mistake.
Probably.
You're an audiologist?
I am an audiologist.
And do you find yourself, like, if you're, like, at a bus station or something, and you're or a train station, and there's somebody sitting beside you on the bench, do you find yourself sort of staring at their ears?
I do look at ears a lot. Look at ears all day, every day, and then I notice ears all the time.
Because, you know, I would think that if I had your job, I would never want to look at an ear during the off hours.
You would think so, but I like to look like, oh, that ear is weird. That ear is
so you,
that
you,
ear
you really
shaped funny.
The right profession.
Wow. Yeah.
I think it's because that's what I do.
Uh-huh. Did you gravitate toward ears when you were a kid?
No.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got and I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on, and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
McCavity! I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
I had ear surgery, not cosmetic ear surgery when I was a kid because they were big and kids are mean and they made fun of me. Mm-hmm. But that had...
So ears were an issue for you.
Yeah. But that had nothing to do with the profession.
That had nothing to do with the profession. No, but... That was just cosmetic.
Cosmetic.
Yeah.
But seeing an ENT and starting in an ENT office kind of opened up my eyes to what was available.
Oh,
yeah.
That's very interesting. Now, let me ask you about something that bothers me, and I can't pronounce it. It's either tinnitus or tinnitus, but I've had it for 10 years. I think it happened when I was doing a comedy sketch for a show on Fox, one of the many reasons I don't like Fox. And I was in a sketch where a starter pistol was set off near my head a couple of times, and I've had this ringing in my ear ever since.
You can call it tinnitus or tinnitus. It doesn't matter.
Because I can't hear what I'm saying anyway.
I call it tinnitus.
Okay.
It is.
Well, you don't get to just choose one way to say a word.
Well,
because then people aren't going to know what you're saying.
Well, professionals call it tinnitus.
Uh-huh. Right.
Like at their meetings and stuff.
Sure.
At their conventions.
Just so the lay people don't know what they're talking
about. Because it's not an inflammation, and itis would be an inflammation.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
When my mother would say, well, you have homework itis.
She was talking about an infection of
my,
homework. Yeah.
My homework was inflamed.
Yes.
Yes.
It never was.
Well, if you weren't doing it, maybe.
Yeah, eventually it built up. Yeah.
That's it's just, it inflamed something.
Tinnitus is a perception of sound when it's not there.
Yeah.
So it's neurologic noise. You're hearing your brain working.
Okay.
It's brain activity.
That's gross.
That is disgusting.
So it's.
And why was that triggered by a starter pistol?
Because
and I was in a few bands, so I can't just blame the starter pistol.
Typically caused by damage to the auditory system.
Okay.
Even if it's momentary, so even excess wax that's blocking your hearing can cause tinnitus.
Forever.
Oh, my God.
Not necessarily forever. It is, once someone becomes aware of it, it's really hard to turn off.
Uh-huh.
So,
I would hate to hear the inside of my brain.
I feel like I do whenever I talk to you.
No. All day long, I would be sitting quietly hearing, there's nothing in here.
Well, hearing it working is good. Then you know.
Yeah.
Then you know it's working.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's creepy.
It's very annoying for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there's a way to retrain the brain not to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
So it's why if you've ever looked it up, it says there's no cure.
Right.
Because you don't want to turn your neurologic noise off.
Right. You just have to learn how to ignore it.
No, it's not necessarily learning how to ignore it. You actually have to train your brain into not putting any importance on it. So
okay.
It's like, oh, it's there, and it's great. It's not that big of a deal. And it's not letting yourself get into quiet rooms, and it's kind of
I've helped with
shifting
that.
The focus.
Oh, yeah, I'm never in a quiet room with you.
I've really helped with that.
I've taken Paula to so many quiet rooms.
And Adam, over here.
Yeah. That's why I signed up for this.
Don't listen to your brain, Adam. Listen to me.
And that works.
Yeah.
That's why I never want to let this podcast go.
Yo, never.
But noise, especially that kind of a noise, that sudden impulse noise, is killer for your ears. The ears don't know how to react to it because it's not ready for it.
Right.
So you became aware of it right after that noise because it's actually you would have experienced something called a temporary threshold shift, which is a protection system for your hearing.
Okay.
But yours, because of that damage, because you were made aware of it, your brain is always looking for that sound.
Oh, man.
So do
and
like,
it's there.
Do yeah. like running race officials, do they all have tinnitus?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Those
swimming
stay away
race
from quiet
officials?
Rooms. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just all day long. Boom, boom. Yeah, it's just constantly starting races.
That's
with
why
a
they hold it
gun.
Over their head, I think.
They're probably wearing protection.
Oh.
And they know they're shooting it, so the ears react differently when you know you're shooting a gun versus you don't know a gun is being shot near you.
Oh, yeah. So, right. I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, so let me ask you a question. You said that earbuds weren't that bad. Then why are so... We do have an epidemic of kids losing hearing, right?
Yes.
So why is that then?
Because of how loud everything is. Everything is loud. Movies are loud. Concerts are loud. Sporting events are loud. Everything is louder than it's ever been. Speakers are louder than they've ever been. Everything is loud.
Oh.
So you can go to a concert and be exposed to 120 decibels of noise, which is so terrible for your ears.
Yeah.
It is OSHA standards allow you to be in 85 decibels of noise for 8 hours. Every 5 dB you go down is you or go up, you decrease your time by 4 hours.
So don't go see Springsteen.
Wear earplugs.
Because he'll play all night.
Wear earplugs.
No, he will.
You yeah. can, but just wear earplugs. Protect your hearing.
That's good advice. Yeah.
The good news is soon there'll be no OSHA standards.
Yeah, that's good. That's,
yeah, so we got that going for us.
Standards are kind of gone anyway.
Well, yeah. Business will be booming for me.
Right. Yeah, you're kind of happy about that, aren't you? So do you, like, when people leave, you know how you go to the dentist and you get to go into the little treasure box? Do you, when people leave you, do you give them, like, tickets to a concert?
I get...
Oh, look,
no,
AC/DC.
I'll give them earplugs.
Oh, do you?
Sometimes I'll give them batteries for their hearing aids, but
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll give them a big smile.
Oh!
Wow. Yeah.
It's a bright smile. Very, very loud smile.
Any reason why men have thicker ear hair?
It's why do men have beards and mustaches? It's the same facial hair that's going to...
Oh, okay. So
same
that's
type
not,
of thing.
It's
just
not
crawled
like...
into their ears?
No, it's... Yeah, it's... No, it's okay. The same thing.
Okay, so there's nothing there.
Yeah, because they're Neanderthals. That's why. Not you.
No. No, but
Adam,
but
over
me.
Here, over here, Adam. Oh, don't listen.
I feel so happy. Everything's so quiet. Okay. So, any last tips for keeping your hearing sharp? I mean, it's too late for me because I already know Paula. But
if you're going to be in noise, protect your hearing. There are plenty of things that are available. If you're somewhere where you don't have protection with you. There's almost always noise protection available for you. You can go to the box office. You can go to concierge. You can go anywhere and ask them for earplugs, and they have it. They are required by law to have it.
Oh, I didn't
really
know that.
Yes.
Okay, Paula. So having heard all that, what is your advice for our audience on ears?
Well, I'd like to give it to you, but first, could our house band, Stephen Billington. Stephen, could you put a little something under my advice? Nice. If you've got gondoliers in your ear canal, get them out of there. Nothing should go in your ear canals. If you've read the fine print on your Q-tip box, you'll see that sticking them in your ears was the furthest thing from the Q-tip inventor's mind. And, coming from a professional, hey, you have a lot of earwax in your left ear, is so complimentary as to almost be a mating call.
All right, beautiful. Dr. Michelle Sherman is an audiologist and the owner of the Towers Audiology Center. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Sherman.
Thank you for having
Thank
me.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, in case you're wondering, the cat of the week is ShamWow from Santa Monica, California. All right. Thank you, trumpeter Stephen Billington. You know, we're a new podcast, and we're having a sort of what I would like to call a sort of contest for a theme song.
No, it's an official contest.
It's an official contest. We don't know a lot about it yet, but we've got some great contenders already, but obviously we're not satisfied.
There's no bathing suit competition.
No, it's just a theme song competition.
Yes.
So having listened to this, and if you think you kind of get the gist of it, write, record the theme song, email it to paula@paulapoundstone.com.
You could put theme song in the subject line, and that would help my assistant, Wendell.
Wendell, to sort it out.
Yeah.
Would you also say that the winner will receive something, Paula?
I think so. The good feelings that come from winning a contest.
There's a line written for you right there.
Bragging rights for the rest of their...
No,
no matter how dark their days get, they'll always be able to say, glory day. They'll always be able to say, you know, one time I wrote a theme song for a podcast.
Yeah.
That's a glowing part of any resume. The winner will receive an autographed copy of my book. And that, by the way, that will be autographed by me. The totally unscientific study of the search for human happiness.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
that should be enough to motivate anybody.
All right. I agree.
Yeah. Randy Newman's going to submit a theme song. Because he knows he can get an autographed copy.
Why do they not do? There is a certain person that they should listen to.
That was sort of a black Randy Newman that you did there, I think. Nice.
That's time now for some more advice. Paula, I know that you have a burning question about your cat, Wednesday.
I do have a burning question about my cat, Wednesday. My cat, Wednesday, although I got her, we got her from an animal shelter. We got two kittens from the same litter. One is Theo and one is Wednesday. Wednesday couldn't have been sweeter at the shelter. And now we bring her home and she's basically a feral cat in my house. She won't hang out with me. She won't. Every time I come near her, she runs with her belly as close to the floor as she can get it.
So she went feral after coming to your house?
She went feral after being to, yeah,
I don't
exactly.
even know if that's a thing. I think feral means you were raised in the wild.
Yeah.
I mean, like, my question about feral cats would be, like, how long do you need to be out there?
Before you're feral?
Before you're feral.
Right,
and, like,
right.
I know you go camping sometimes.
Yeah.
Is there a risk of you turning feral?
Yeah. 2-3 days out there, I'm gone.
Yeah. You're chewing twigs.
As soon as my dehydrated bill of fare is gone, then I'm feral.
You're feral. Straight out feral.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know you're a cat lover.
No, I'm a cat haver. That's different.
It's not the same.
Once you're in the double digits, you're a cat haver. And the love goes out of it.
You have 14.
I have 14 cats.
So why don't you just put the kibosh on Wednesday? Send Wednesday off. Wednesday might not want to live there.
No.
No, she loves you.
Yeah. No, she loves me in her own way.
All right, well, let's find
out. In this way.
Yeah, that's not love. That's really not a love sound. And we have somebody here who can shed light on that. To give us some insight, please welcome the executive director of Surf Cat Rescue and Adoption, a certified feline training and behavior specialist, Leslie Ann Weiss.
It's good to be here.
Welcome, Leslie.
Yes, thank you for being here. I just want to say one thing, Leslie. You know, Wednesday came, I said, from the same litter as my cat, Theo. If we were at home right now, if we were recording Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone in my home.
Which I will never do. with a different co-host.
My cat. My cat, Theo, would totally be in the way. He would constantly be on my lap, knocking things over. He's the most social cat in the world. And his sister, nothing, not a bupkis.
Well, you have 14 cats?
I have 14 cats. Don't look at me with that judgment.
Okay. I'm a crazy cat lady, so that's okay.
Yeah.
It's possible that somebody in your house is bullying her.
One of the humans or one of the cats?
One of the cats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that is possible.
That's a lot of cats for one space.
Yeah. Oh,
you're assuming Paula has a small house. You have not been to Poundstone Estates.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. They're over in the West Wing. No, it is a... No, It is a small house. I think. But why is she running from me if.
Because you gave her the bully.
Oh, because I provided. It's probably Severus, by the way.
You think so?
She doesn't know that at the end of the story, he turns out to be a good guy.
Right. So you think that's it? Do you think it could be bullying?
I think it could be bullying on a couple different levels. Like if they. They'll corner her at a litter box, or they won't let her eat. They'll push her away for her food, and there hasn't been anybody to protect her. So,
Jeez, this is a sad story.
It's not only a sad story, you're kind of emerging as the villain of it.
Yeah. There hasn't been any to protect. I protect her. It's possible. All right, but what's the solution to? Because I'm not getting rid of any cats. I can tell you that right now.
I get that.
My feeling is Wednesday. Buck up. That's my feeling. Is that not the right?
How do you tell a cat to buck up?
Carefully, I guess. But yeah. Separate her from the rest. Maybe put her with another kitty in like another room with a door closed.
You know, you've got to come to my house. One of the things I did every so often, we would take her and put her in the bathroom by herself. And then when people went into the bathroom, you know, we would pet her. And she
You
could pet her in the bathroom. She was not right away, but if you pulled her out from behind the toilet, she was perfectly happy.
Oh, so maybe Leslie's theory is actually correct, because it sounds like perhaps that cat felt safer in the bathroom where the bully wasn't, right?
Yes.
It's very possible. What she didn't realize is that just under the cabinet, under the sink in the cabinet, there's Q-tips. And if you shove those deep in your canal...
Right. I'd imagine that the same advice would apply to cats as humans.
Yeah. Put Q-tips deep in your canal.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, but say I got a feral cat in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
How do I... And I didn't have any other cats, say, for example. Okay. How do I make it not a feral cat anymore?
So in Fantasyland...
Yeah.
How does the otherworldly Paula Poundstone, who has no cats, tame a feral cat?
You can't really tame a feral cat.
Once they're feral, they're feral.
Yeah. Cats,
really?
Domesticated cats are only 10 to 20% domesticated as it is.
What does that mean, then, domesticated?
Domesticated means that they'll be around you and not just cats and other animals.
And so there's only 10 to 20% of them?
They retain their ability, all of their instincts to go out and be wild again. And that's why you find so many stray cats out there, because people can't care for them anymore and they might just let them go.
And they survive just fine because they've kept that part of themselves.
Right, exactly.
Unlike dogs, if it's a domesticated dog and it gets out there, it's just going to, I don't know, just get a minimum wage job somewhere and try to start
yeah,
again.
It's not
going to make it.
Yeah, because a lot of them can't get into school. All right, so you can't make a feral cat.
You shouldn't make a feral
what do you mean
cat.
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't, because it's like being abducted by aliens. So you're out there and you're having a good time and you're chasing a mouse.
You're assuming you're having a good time.
I guess I am.
All
but
right, yeah.
They're out there and they're chasing a mouse, and all of a sudden they run into a trap, and then they're in somebody's a building, and then somebody's making them sleep, and when they wake up they don't have their nuts anymore, and it's like being abducted. So
they get their nuts cut off.
I thought it was a good thing to take a feral cat.
Well, they don't have any experience, right? They don't have any experience with what the better life might be, so it doesn't really look like the good life to them.
Yeah.
It looks like an alien abduction.
Yeah, it's not
that.
The good life to them. It's exactly the opposite.
Well, then tell us about your TNR program. So, trap, neuter, release
or return.
TNR
is important. What you do instead of the old school way was to go out, kill the cats that were there, and then obviously they're going to come back. But you go out, you trap them, you alter them, and you put them right back where you found them so that they just stop reproducing.
Oh.
And then you don't have a million kittens.
Oh, well, that's a good idea, I guess. Someone could do that in my house.
We may have to.
Yeah. No, actually, my cats are
Your cats have got to be all
neutered. They're, right? all fixed.
Okay.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, they're fixed.
We call it fixed.
Right. But then again, there's
we
other
say
things.
It's not broken.
Oh.
Yeah. Touché. Well, I convinced them that they were broken and that they have to get fixed.
Obviously completely convinced Wednesday of that.
Yeah.
So Wednesday needs to be isolated from the other cats until we find the bully, and then we do what? Retrain the bully?
No, I think that she just needs to be in a separate part of the house
with
maybe one or two
this.
Other cats.
So are you suggesting then, because it's a very small house, are you suggesting then that I add on?
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah, so I build on like a little...
Absolutely, and have
the
outdoor...
door.
Have the outdoor portion as your catio. It's no longer a patio.
Oh, it's a catio.
It's a catio that...
I don't think even Wednesday has really like retained a lot of her feralness, because there was a beetle in my house last night, and right now is that giant fly season. I don't know if you guys have that in your house.
The flies started appearing, yeah.
Those big fat ones that are kind of logy.
Well, that means because they've been in your house eating for a long time.
No. These come from... there's a season where they just show up.
Okay.
And they're very slow. They're not hard to catch. I thopped one last night. That's how I got rid
you
of it.
One?
I just thopped it with my fingers.
Oh, you thought you
so they're
it
not
with your...
fast.
Right.
And not one of my cats went off. You know, they like kind of observe that it's flying around, but they didn't go get it.
So what happened to the feral instincts of these cats? Where's that 80%?
Why would you do it if somebody else was going to do it for you? And that's what happens with a lot of cats that are just kind of hanging out.
Oh,
they don't
so
want to be
just,
with you. You're just their meal ticket.
So they're just, oh my gosh, this is exactly like my kids.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Not
so
all.
Horrible.
Not all, but
so they're just sitting there going like, I hope that thwopper comes by soon.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that is one yeah. big logy fly.
Yeah, you want to thwop this fly and then clean my waste in the other room?
That's what's happening. Is that yeah. what's happening? That's pretty much
pretty,
what's happening.
Pretty much, yeah.
So are you
yeah.
suggesting if I weren't sifting litter boxes, they would get up and do it themselves?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no,
I think,
no,
yeah, I think
no.
not.
All right, so there's not a lot of training cats to be done. Then. Is
well,
there? Or,
actually, there's a lot of training you can do.
Okay,
oh,
well, can
thank
you tell us some of the things we can
well,
do.
Well, cats are really smart.
Mostly work-related?
Mostly, yes.
Yeah. Manufacturing. Unfortunately, it's in coal.
Yeah. It's a dying technology,
so,
but cats are great at it.
Yeah.
So
all right,
ask,
so
ask
what,
me the question again.
Yeah, so
how can you train cats?
So
what can you do?
What you can do and what the shelters are doing now is they're clicker training their kitties to do something that might impress a potential adopter and make them more appealing.
Oh, so,
so
like
you teach them like a high five or you things
oh,
like that.
Wow.
And they're doing that in the shelter?
They're doing it in the shelters, rescues.
And that's clicker training. You have one of those things
yep.
and it's in your hand that makes a clicky sound.
And you click and treat at the same time. So you start with having teaching them how to sit. And how you do that is you just hold the treat up over their head, and then they look back and they sit. And then you click and give them the treat at the same time. So until
so eventually
that,
they hear the click and they sit.
Right.
And then somebody goes like, wow, that's a smart cat, even though it's just a cat that's had 5 minutes of exposure to a clicker method thing. Or more than five.
Yeah. And then it sits.
And
Yeah. And and there's people that will get a cat. Like they're looking around the shelter for a cat and they see all sorts of cute kittens
right.
and they go, sit, sit. And the cats don't sit. And then they say to one cat, they go, sit. And the cat sits and they go, this is the one for
that
me.
Cat's so smart.
Oh, this is
it's
a beautiful story.
Cat I've ever
this
seen.
Is like, this is like incredible journey.
Well, the cats don't need to be told to sit. They're already trained to know when a person comes by, they sit and look cuter.
Oh, they do that?
This is
because they just want out of that
cage. There's something about this that kind of like in real estate after the real estate bust when developers had made these big developments with like a bunch of apartments or houses that didn't have anybody living in them and nobody wanted to be the first person kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So what they would do is they would have actors, they did this in the Los Angeles area, they would have actors come and pretend to be neighbors. And they might have like a party on their lawn.
Oh, while the people were looking at the house.
While the people
Did
were
this
showing
really
them the
happen?
House. Yes, I heard it on NPR, so I know it's true.
Wow.
So, yeah, and this sounds very much like they'd come over and ask to borrow something, right? And they're like, oh, look, neighbors. This seems like, so you get a cat that's probably just vicious deep down, probably just like a, it's going to claw your furniture and pee all over your house, but it high fives. And wow. so this is this strikes me as false advertising somehow.
We're dealing with the human race, so
yeah. So right. did that. You get did you get from a shelter any clicker cats?
I clicker the shelter cats.
Oh, you
oh you do.
Oh, so
well,
you train
the
shelter
cats
fraud.
That I have. Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, great.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no shame in that.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, there is.
Boy.
It's a crime, but
yeah,
you know,
it is a crime.
This is,
yeah,
this
fraud.
Is not quite
it's cat
a crime.
Fraud. Kitty fraud.
Yeah, cat fraud. I thought I had a special cat.
If we could make Wednesday's behavior. If we could tell people that that was appealing, like, you know, do you want a cat to hide out in your cabinet?
Right.
This is a cat for you.
Oh, if you were going to try to farm out Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. You yeah. know, you might, there might be a section of cabinet that you would like to have cat hair in it.
Right.
And this,
and this is
the
cat,
cat
that
for
can
you.
Do that for you. Because
yeah.
look how well she does this.
Yeah. Do you want a bad smell coming from the back of where you keep your dishes? This is the cat for you.
It's kind of a tough sell.
Yeah.
yeah.
I guess it is kind of a tough sell. Now, I've seen people walking cats on leashes before. I tried to put a leash on my cat's mic one time. Let me show you the scar.
No, I put a harness and leash on my cat Horatio back in Brooklyn. We thought that would be great because we loved him so much. We were going to take him everywhere. And he couldn't even handle the harness, let alone the leash. Putting that strap around, he just walked around like, you know, like an old war veteran who'd been, you know, just... Oh, the wound, I can't move anymore. And I'm like, you're 1 year old. It's just a strap. But you wouldn't wear it.
They don't go in for that.
The harness thing is because so many people think that all cats should be kept inside.
Yeah.
And that these cats that, you know, are really, really house cats need to go outside and smell the roses. That's when it started and it became cool to walk your cat like you would walk your dog. And but you have to remember to protect those cats that are going to go outside on leashes with all the vaccines as if they were just running around out there.
Do you walk your cats?
No.
Because they don't like it.
When you put the harness on them, they fall over. It's this, it's like the thunder shirt or the cow thing.
I don't know what the thunder shirt is. But
the thunder shirt is it's like an elasticy kind of a shirt that you would wrap tightly around your dog so that they feel comforted.
Like they're getting the idea of it. Hug.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because dogs love a hug.
Yeah, every
they
dog
don't
loves
even
them.
Have arms for hugs.
That's why they need us.
At one point, I was in Alaska, and I went on a dog cart, which is how they train the dogs in the off-season with
this
a dog
is going
cart.
I can tell.
And so I came home and put harnesses on all 14 of my cats.
Yeah, how'd that
and,
work?
Let me show you the scars. And that didn't work out. So, yeah, they didn't like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and some do. Some love to go. People like to travel. They like to go camping. A lot of people with smaller living quarters are adopting cats instead of dogs.
Right.
But they want to do the same thing and be active. And
that's exactly what we tried to do with Horatio. And when we moved to Los Angeles, we took him with us in the SUV. And he actually started to enjoy the car a little bit like a dog might. But the Grand Canyon did nothing for him.
Yeah.
Nothing. Actually lifted him up, walked him to the edge, and he was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Do you remember that time when you got lost and he kept saying, pull over and ask directions?
Yeah,
just
and I never
pull
would.
Over. Yeah, right, yeah.
That's the difference between cats and men.
Yeah, exactly.
A cat will pull over and ask directions.
Yeah. Nothing pisses a cat off more than riding with a man that won't pull over and ask directions.
Yeah, we bickered all the time, me and that cat,
for God's sakes, just pull over. Yeah. I've needed to pee for an hour. Would you pull over?
I don't need to pee as much. Again, cats and men are different.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What's up, by the way, with territorial peeing?
Because my cats back to dogs.
Yeah. No, my cat's territorial peeing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
They pee on
you. Awful. They've peed on my head twice, which means they're saying to the other cats, she's my special someone, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Very flattering.
Yes, very.
Very flattering.
Cats live in prides. It's a hierarchy. And so just like with packs of dogs, there's one that's going to be the head. Well, when another one comes in, like let's say you have three cats and there's one that's the big boss. Well, when you have three more cats, the two big bosses are fighting for each other.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So
it's like a primary, but uglier. No, it's the other way around.
Right.
It's like a primary,
but
nicer.
Not quite as ugly.
Yeah.
It just involves peeing on things.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, they'll start to fight, and then those particular places end up being the place where they're going to say, that's mine, no, that's mine, and then they go somewhere else and say, okay, then that's mine, and then the other one says, oh, okay, I'm going over here, that's mine.
Do you think if I left out a label gun, they would use that instead?
They would not.
No.
I'm going to answer that for Leslie.
You don't think we need an expert for that?
No.
Yeah, label
it
gun
almost
question.
Feels like that's one of those questions that your expert is not expected to answer at all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Leslie, thank you for those insights into the world of feline behavior. And Paula, having processed all this, what advice do you have for our listeners who have cats that might be slightly feral-ish?
All right, Stephen, can you put a little something underneath this? My cat Wednesday may be being bullied by another cat who calls her names like Low Energy Wednesday, Pocahontas, and Lion Wens. She may need me to put on an addition to my house with a big screen TV and a walk-in bathtub, which isn't going to happen. Cats maintain some amount of their wild survivor instincts. Many stockpile weapons. Feral cats should be trapped, neutered, released, and given an REI rewards card.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that would have been disturbing enough without Ravel's Bolero. All right. Well, thank you very much, you two. Thank you, Leslie and Weiss.
Thank you, Leslie.
Leslie is the executive director of Surf Cat Rescue and Adoption and a certified feline training and behavior specialist. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Paula, I know you're always out on the road. It's a thing with you. Possibly because your house is stuffed with cats. What have you got coming up?
Well, that kitty litter isn't cheap, Adam. And that's why I'm going to be at the Guard Arts Center in New London, Connecticut on August 10th and Town Hall in Provincetown August 11th. See, that's back-to-back.
That is back-to-back indeed. That's one day after the other. And if you enjoyed Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, and I know that I did, please show some love, drop a review at your podcast app or iTunes or wherever you're getting your podcasts.
Well, Adam, I hope people out there have been listening. We try, we suggest, we advise, but do they listen?
They do not. We call it Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone for a reason. Our show is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, the same Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, and Ken Lezebnik, along with Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Jorge Reyes. Special thanks to tonight's house band, trumpeter Stephen Billington, and to our guests, Dr. Michelle Sherman and Leslie Ann Weiss. Snacks for our guests provided by the Tahunga Liquor Store down the street.
That's our show. Won't somebody please listen to me?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.